CBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Israeli airstrikes continue into Gaza. On day six of the war between Israel and Hamas, about 1,200 killed in Israel, including 22 Americans. Another 1,300 people dead in Gaza, ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
A senior Hamas official is claiming the militants planned the attack on Israel for 2 years, making no mention of any outside involvement. Reuters, citing a source close to Hamas, reports the militant group started planning the attack in May 2021, angered after Israeli troops stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem during clashes between police and Palestinian protesters.
Meantime, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Tel Aviv, focused on Americans who are missing, being held hostage or stranded in the region. Hadas Calderon says her 12 and 16-year-old children are being held. She's seen them in videos.
My baby is like, can you imagine your child like that?
This is ABC News. Nearly a month into the UAW strike, and auto workers are stepping up the pressure on Ford. 8,700 of them walking off the job last night at the Ford truck plant in Louisville, Kentucky, is Ford's biggest plant in the country. New York's Governor Kathy Hochul launching a new push to try and help keep kids safer online. ABC's Andrea Fujii.
Lawmakers in New York argue algorithms, which suggest content based on a user's perceived interests, are keeping kids addicted to social media. The governor calling algorithms the new tobacco.
We prohibit cigarettes and alcohol. Teenagers can't have access to them because it threatens their health.
So state officials are now proposing legislation that would allow parents to opt their kids out of getting feeds based on those automated algorithms.
The state of Utah suing TikTok, saying the platform's algorithms are getting kids addicted to social media. TikTok responding, saying it has safeguards in place. Justin Finch, ABC News.
Web Fitters in Green Bay reminds us, we may consider it a right to receive blood when hospitalized, but many don't consider the responsibility of donating blood to maintain the supply for the community. Unfortunately, at certain times of the year, people do not donate enough blood to keep up with the demand. Make a difference by doing your part and donate blood today. This message from Web Fitters in Green Bay, serving the area 20 years. Visit webfitters.com. Donate blood today.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media,
people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. Like, if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at SoundItOutTogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to hour number two, Mino and the Mayor. How fascinating was that to have Ryan on from Midwest Restoration?
Yeah, that's Fire Prevention Week, and some of the things he said are,
we're talking about the bathroom vents. Right. How many fires have gone to them?
Right.
The electric bikes now? Your tools that you plug in.
Right.
And we've got a text to the Green Bay Fire Department now carries a piece of specific equipment for battery fires due to the frequency of those fires.
Yeah.
Had no idea until he told us that story.
Wow.
So, right. Then I got another one. Todd, what was the other one we got?
Which one?
Who's funny guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And somebody said, John, one of the biggest causes of fires, birdhouse construction workshops.
Right. Yeah. Yes, cigarette over the kerosene. Yeah, that's not a good idea.
No, but I told you, I set myself on fire with when I was learning how to weld in my garage.
Yeah,
told you that story.
I'd be more surprised if you said I've never set myself
right,
on fire.
Right, same here.
I set myself on fire 3 times in my life. This is no lie. 3 times.
Oh, John.
I'm not kidding. Okay, so the one time welding was one time. Another time, we used to have a big burning pit, a big 55-gallon drum. Everybody in the UP has that. You burn your own garbage.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
And I always love that job. You had the big stick to stir it with. Okay.
Yeah, you know? Right.
And I'm out there one time in the winter and doing that. And I just got this new coat for Christmas. They used to be those like plastic, nylonish, whatever, with the down.
Yeah.
And those I got cool. it. I'm kind of like leaning on it somehow. And all of a sudden I look and my whole arm is burning.
Yeah.
I literally had to dive into the snow and roll. I did the drop and flop or whatever you call it. Drop and roll.
No, it's go ahead.
Stop, okay. Drop and roll.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I had to do that to myself. Then the third time, I was trying. Okay, this is going to sound terrible. But this might sound.
I'm with Todd. I would have been more surprised if you drop not.
Okay, this was a terrible thing that I did. This, and I would never encourage anybody to do this. Okay, I tried making napalm.
Good idea, John. That's what a great thing to share with our listeners.
That it was basically ivory soap and kerosene or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I was going to do that and bomb anthills with it, like, okay? And it went all the way down my arm.
They just didn't have a lot of psychiatrists up in Nugani.
So I got a second-degree burns, the big bubble things on them. So 3 separate times.
Where did you learn to make napalm? You must have been, what, 6th grade?
I think it was in Mechanics Illustrated or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So because we had a big ant infestation, so I thought that'd be a good way to get rid of the ants.
That was the answer.
Yeah.
Instead of sweeping it, you just...
It's those big ants. I hated those big ants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They could bite.
Yeah. Yeah.
More information for the government if they ever look into John.
Yeah, right. They're going to ask for the tapes.
But again, I'm on pain pills. I'm on pain pills.
John hurt his back, so he's on meds, so
exactly.
We're kind of excusing him. But I'll tell you what.
Very special guest right here now.
We do. We talk about Green Bay and what a great community is, and sometimes we get a little skewed towards sports. But there's so much more than sports in Green Bay. I mean, not just the industries with healthcare, but the talent in the arts, the writers, the music, and we have a special guest that is part of that culture. Yes?
Annette, introduce yourself.
Well, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
having me here. I'm Annette Langlois-Grunseth, and I'm here to, I guess, talk about...
Well, we're both local authors. Yeah. All three of us are all local authors.
I'm on the bottom of the totem pole. I have one book. John has four, and Annette, you've written some poetry.
I've written two.
Two books. Anyway, tell us about...
This one is interesting. Combat and Campus. Go ahead.
Very cool.
Okay, well, Combat and Campus, Writing Through War... is a book that took me about 20 years to complete.
Wow.
It was something that was always on the radar in our family. My brother had gone to University of Wisconsin, Madison, and he graduated in 1967 with a journalism degree.
Okay.
And he also had some political science classes, and he got drafted because that his draft number came up, and he went to a year of basic training, and then in 1968, off he went to Vietnam.
Okay.
And he was in combat, jungle combat. He rode on an armored personnel carrier, a track, where they had eight men, and they lived in that track, and they went through, they got ambushed, they were in the jungle.
Wow.
And so he wrote home very vivid letters. He didn't hold anything back. Many of the people that were over there were trying to protect their families, so they didn't tell all the stories, but he was like he was a reporter. And he also took some photographs while he was there, and after he got home, made a photo album. At the same time, I was a freshman at UW-Madison at the same campus where he was, and guess what was happening?
All the demonstrations.
Boy, did you have a lot.
It was major. I was going up Bascom Hill in the morning to my class, and there I was behind the National Guard with rifles on their shoulders, bayonets.
Wow.
So I had bayonets and tear gas on campus, and my brother had bayonets and tear gas in Vietnam, and he saw it in the Stars and Stripes newspaper of the military, and he goes, oh, I see you have bayonets and tear gas on campus. He goes, well, that sounds about normal.
Yeah. So, how much did that bother you, protesters, or didn't it bother you, with a brother in Vietnam? Because were they? Did you feel they were protesting the actual soldiers or the government?
Oh, gosh. I think they're protesting the government, mostly. And my brother was writing letters saying, we got over here, it's chaos, we can tell this isn't winnable. And he's writing very frank letters about, you know, we really should get out of here.
Right.
And that's not exactly what we were hearing from Walter Cronkite on the news.
Right, right.
So these letters came home, and my parents said, oh, my gosh, these are like living history. So my dad, we're from Wausau, so my dad knew the publisher of the newspaper in Wausau, and he showed the letters to him, and so the publisher published him for a full year.
Wow.
And there was a really good following. So we knew these letters were pretty important, and my parents kept them in their safe deposit box. So I thought, well... okay. And my mother always said, oh, we should do a book about this.
Wow.
That's where it started. And then when my brother, he had some horrible experiences, very close calls. It's a miracle he made it home. There were some people that that were close to him that were killed right in front of his eyes, that kind of thing. So he was pretty traumatized. And when he got home, he didn't want to look back at this at all. He just said, okay, the letters. My parents had them. He didn't revisit it. And many times I said to him, why don't you do a book? You know, I'll help you with it. And our dad was a writer. He's a writer. I'm a writer. You know, why not? So he just didn't want to revisit it.
Sure.
In fact, he got married, had a family. It's even though, you know, his spouse didn't even know about it.
Did he have post-traumatic stress?
He did. And that was the thing. It wasn't diagnosed. Things happened. You know, he would just be really frustrated with things. He would anger easily.
Yeah.
And when you have that kind of trauma, you come back, you're a different person.
Yep.
He lost some of his sense of humor. And he always had a good sense of humor that continued. But it was hard. And it wasn't well diagnosed. So he kind of lived with that. And then, if that wasn't enough, he got an Agent Orange-related cancer.
Oh, jeez.
So then... he kind of battled that for about 15 years, and then he succumbed to it. So that's when I thought, well...
Now's the time.
Now's the time. Well, then my mother, it was her dying wish also. Uh-huh. She said, do something with the letters. So I knew they were good, so I just kind of worked on it. And then this has been a really amazing journey.
I'll bet.
Yeah, and that this is great. I know we're getting to the gist of some of the letters, but Combat and Campus, what a great... title as well, right? Your brother's in combat, you're on campus, and you guys are kind of relating your two worlds, and I'm assuming they were kind of on the same page.
Well,
writing through war, and tell us about some of the letters. Is there something you're?
Oh well, there's a when he got to there. Let's see, when he first got there, the first letter we got was he landed on his birthday, by the way, July 68, and. It took him 22 hours to get there, you know, the multiple flights. And the last paragraph of his first letter says, Vietnam is terrible. Everything smells like garbage, including your body, because of the heat and humidity. And this is a guy who grew up in northern Wisconsin and loved
nature,
fall days,
cool
weather. And he was more worried about the heat and humidity. And it bothered him. I mean, he got, you know, they got... sunburned and then that got infected. He wound up in the hospital with that sort of thing. And then, you know, they had some ambushes and things that happened. And he told some pretty graphic stories. And one of the things he said after the ambushes, he said, each day we keep adding sandbags to our bunkers in anticipation of a mortar attack on the battalion logger site. That's like their base camp. Everyone is tense and dog tired. The sun burns daily, and torrents of rain make the landscape muddier every night. This is Vietnam at present, a muddy, stinking hell.
Wow. Graphic.
So he was, how the whole thing, it reads like a novel.
And you can tell he was a journalism major.
Yeah, he's good writing for his letters.
That's pretty good writing.
Yeah. We're going to be running out of time here, but you had had quite the honor this weekend with the Living, can't never think of the name of it.
Okay.
Living Cemetery?
Talking Spirits cemetery tour. So
yes.
I've been working with the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, and they have this year they were doing it's their 25th anniversary of doing these tours, and they invite school kids from all over the state to come in and so forth, and then adults on the weekend. So they were doing a look back 50 years since the Vietnam War. So they had they chose my story. Well, and I thought they were going to do it from my brother's viewpoint, but they didn't. They did it from my viewpoint. And Bruce Bradley is a very talented playwright who wrote the script for this. And it really took me aback when we went through the tour. I went through the tour as just, you know, a regular person.
As you watch somebody play you.
You, I know. And it was
how
like.
How weird is that?
That was like. Oh my gosh. They go, now we're going to hear from Annette Grunseth. I'm going, what?
I'm over here.
And then they said, do you want us to say anything? Because I'm in a tour group of about 25 people. And I said, well, sure. Why don't you wait till, you know, this person gets done, this actor gets done. And so they announced that, well, today, you know, we mostly have people that aren't with us any longer in these plays because it's Talking Spirits. But today we have the person here. And they introduced me, and everybody turned around, and they went like,
she lives.
And I was just floored. It's been the most surreal experience I ever had. But it was really wonderful because the story is out there, and it's going to be on their website. They have a YouTube channel.
Okay.
Veterans
Home. I can't wait to see it. But so, this is just fascinating. Combat and Campus, and I dealt with so many Vietnam vets, and everything you said is so true. It was just a hell on earth.
Well,
for those guys.
It was, and it was my desire to honor Vietnam veterans
awesome.
And give them the welcome home they never had with
that's
this book.
That's exactly right. Great. Wonderful, wonderful. Where can people get your book?
It's at Lion's Mouth Bookstore and also on my website, AnnetteGrunseth.com.
AnnetteGrunseth.com.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick it up. That's fantastic.
Okay, good.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks
so
for
much.
Wonderful having
that.
You here.
All right, thank you so
Keep
much.
Keep writing local books. I love doing it.
Okay.
I hope you do too.
Okay, I will.
Thanks, Annette. All right, we'll be back with more with Jay DeMeritt coming up down the road here. Mino and the mayor, back after this.
Trunk or treat, I'm going trunk or treating.
Terry, you got to be talking about one of the Halloween events coming up at both Green Bay area YMCAs, Saturday, October 28th. It's fun for the whole family and includes games, a costume contest, and of course, Halloween treats, my favorite.
Oh, and Todd, it's happening at the East Side YMCA from 1 to 4, then the West Side YMCA from 4 to 7. But the trunk or treat, well, that one's only on the East Side between 1 and 2. Decorate your car and the kids get treated.
treats from your trunk.
Sounds like a lot of fun, and it's all free. Would you rather help out? You can volunteer for any of the Halloween events on Saturday, October 28th at both Green Bay YMCAs.
Find all the information at greenbayymca.org. greenbayymca.org. Keeping you connected to your community. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM, 97.9 FM, and the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies today with highs around 56. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows dip down to about 48. Overcast skies tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. Highs level off around 52. Temperatures a bit below average Saturday and Sunday with highs in the low 50s. Chance for scattered rain showers Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 38.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Special thanks.
Excuse me.
To Annette Galsett. Fascinating stuff, isn't it?
Isn't that?
And I don't think anything. I don't think anything tells history better than personal letters from people who are there.
Right. I mean,
I don't care what war it is.
Just that little excerpt she read about the landscape, you know, and that's captured by a guy who was a journalism major from Madison, UW. I look forward to reading that because that's the real deal, right? It's
yeah.
Their personal. It's hard feelings. It's to his sister or to his parents, I should say. That's great that she captured all that, published it. And people who have read that book, Johnny, she was telling me, you know, when you were at break, that some of the people have contacted her and she's gotten back together. There's such a brotherhood of that.
No
right?
question. I will say one thing. You know, I know there's a lot of negatives with social media, but there is nothing that is allowed Vietnam veterans to finally get together again on like Facebook. That right. has been the number one thing that has really helped keep those guys together. A lot of guys found each other after a lot of years.
Yes.
Which is really
that
cool.
That is one of the positives.
But you know, there's a comedian that does kind of a funny skit. He talks about how letters from soldiers used to be. It's like from the Civil War, you know, being like, "Dear Scarlet, how thy heart longs for, you know, the sound of the shells shatters the night and the solitude of the, you know what I mean?"
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, guy from Iraq, "Dear Carla, it is hotter than bleep over here."
You know? Same message, just written differently, right?
Different
times, different times.
Yeah. I'm sweating my bleep off.
Anyway, that's great that she captured that.
That was great.
That whole we talked a little bit about that talking tombstones. Now I forgot her program was called something else, Speaking Spirits or
yes.
something or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Those are cool things where someone stands behind the gravestone of this and
but
they
how
talk
weird
first
to watch
person,
somebody portray
right?
you?
Yeah, that would be a little weird. But you
if
would
you
be,
if they ever do one of those on you, do you think I could get Rudy Giuliani to come play the part?
I know.
What do you think?
You've
already, make a call?
You've already booked Al Pacino. Isn't that your guy?
For who? You or me?
You.
Oh, no. Mine would be Joe Pesci.
Oh, Joe Pesci. That's
yeah.
right. You said that.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to.
Todd, what do you think?
Jim Schmidt's going to play Jim Schmidt. That's
oh, right. No, Jim. You got to have somebody else play you.
You know what? We give a prize package for the person who comes up text-wise the best people, best actors to play me and or the mayor in one of those walking spirits tours.
All right. Okay. Because I had, do you have your gravestone?
No.
I do.
Oh.
It's all engraved and everything.
Is your name on it?
Yeah.
I think that is the freakiest thing in the world.
With my birthday.
How can you do that?
There's nothing after the dash. I don't know. It was.
You're accepting death.
Yes, John. I think we all have to. Yes,
I don't.
John, you know what?
I don't. I'm going to be that one guy that doesn't.
No one gets out of here alive.
You'll see. You watch.
What do they say after, like, nuclear war?
The cockroaches. And Mino.
Who the hell's this guy?
I'll be that guy. One of my favorite Twilight Zone episodes. I've seen every Twilight Zone episode 100 times. You know which one I'm talking about?
The glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burgess Meredith.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. Isn't that a great one?
That is great. Yeah.
Goes into the vault to read at lunch.
He comes out
and he brings his glasses.
Oh, man. Just the nerdiest guy. Yes. And he, yes, that is a good one. But
wasn't that a great show?
Yes.
Oh, that was such a good show.
That was a weird dude, though, who ran that.
Rod Sterling?
Yeah.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
He was a World War II veteran. I know that.
Read about him.
Really? Yeah. In which way?
Just, he didn't live long.
I don't know. I don't know. You know more about him than I do. But I still watch that. If it pops up someplace, I watch it.
Oh yeah,
I love it.
I love it. Yeah, that's no. He was a workaholic. I know. And there's something else. I don't know. There's Rod Sterling was a unique. A lot of those people were though.
I liked his shows more than Alfred Hitchcock's.
That Alfred Hitchcock was a very weird dude.
Yeah, got this one. The mayor would be Jim Carrey. John would be Rod Sterling.
What?
You mean Rod Sterling from the Twilight Zone?
Jim Carrey.
Yeah. They said Jim Carrey. He's tall, though. I don't think that'd be a very accurate thing. He's like 6'3". So I don't know if that would work. Yeah.
Oh, man. Come on. Keep texting in. I'm not giving 25 bucks to that guy. No.
You don't win. Sorry. You don't win. Get that weak stuff out of here.
Mino and Rod Sterling.
A little more humor then.
Yeah, Rod Sterling was a little tight.
Yeah, he's very tight. I've never seen him laugh. Right
no.
Now. No.
No, he's not a funny guy.
You know,
we'd not invite him to the party.
His shows were good, except for the when it was all aliens type things. I was never into the alien, out of space.
But he had some great
Star Treks.
We had some great stories.
I was never into any of those.
No, but he.
Yes, he did.
I agree. That was talent.
I know.
But that talking tombstone thing.
Yeah.
That is a cool program where they get some great actors and actresses. You know, there's somebody in cemetery that died on the Titanic, right? Minahan. And there's other people that they stand behind and talk about, and that's just, it's good history. I would do it.
If they ever wanted me to be one of the actors, I would do it.
Yeah, you would. I don't know.
What?
Nah,
well, you're saying there's something there.
Yeah, there was who you would portray that had died, but I think we got to be sensitive.
Well, they're
to
local
the dead.
People, though, so it's hard to say. You know, but somebody might say, "Hey, Mino reminds me of my Uncle Bob."
That would be nice.
Who, you know, was the first mayor of Green Bay,
right.
Or you know, something like that.
Not Ed Gacy or somebody.
Ed Gein. Oh my God! Get your serial killers right. Okay. Oh my gosh!
Did he live next to that
Ed Gein?
Did that guy that remember that house we went to in Groot's house?
Who's?
But we went to that place in like Plainview.
Oh, yeah, Plainfield.
Plainfield. Is that where he's from?
Yes.
Yes.
And that friend of ours bought a house next to his?
Yes.
Weird.
And somebody wanted to like buy it or rent it out to use as like for Halloween, a haunted type thing? Yeah.
Patty says that the mayor could be played by George Costanza.
Oh, I could see that.
That hurts. All right, Patty.
Yes. Thank you, Patty.
All right, no, Patty.
Thank you.
We were passing out 25
you.
Bucks.
Thank you.
George Costanza.
Hey, talk about ending a career. Michael Richards, huh? Kramer?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, we're going to set a quick break. We're talking with Jane Amer when we come back. Back after this.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Israeli airstrikes continue into Gaza. On day 6 of the war between Israel and Hamas, about 1,200 killed in Israel, including 22 Americans. Another 1,300 people dead in Gaza, ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
A senior Hamas official is claiming the militants planned the attack on Israel for 2 years, making no mention of any outside involvement. Reuters citing citing a source close to Hamas, reports the militant group started planning the attack in May 2021. Angered after Israeli troops stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem during clashes between police and Palestinian protesters.
Meantime, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Tel Aviv, focused on Americans who are missing, being held hostage or stranded in the region. Hadass Calderon says her 12 and 16-year-old children are being held. She's seen them in videos.
My baby is like, can you imagine your child like that?
This is ABC News.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Trunk or treat! I'm going trunk or treating!
Terry, you got to be talking about one of the Halloween events coming up at both Green Bay area YMCAs, Saturday, October 28th. It's fun for the whole family and includes games, a costume contest, and of course, Halloween treats, my favorite.
Oh, and Todd, it's happening at the East Side YMCA from 1 to 4, then the West Side YMCA from 4 to 7. But the trunk or treat? Well, that one's only on the East Side between 1 and 2. Decorate your car and the kids get treats from your trunk.
Sounds like a lot of fun, and it's all free. Would you rather help out? You can volunteer for any of the Halloween events on Saturday, October 28th at both Green Bay YMCAs.
Find all the information at greenbayymca.org. greenbayymca.org. Keeping you connected to your community, the talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM, 97.9 FM, and the Civic Media Radio Network.
Buck Tussle has been providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin before it was cool. Now we're celebrating the company and the bug that started it all. In honor of our mascot, Buford's birthday, and the anniversary of our company, we are giving new customers free service until 2024, and 5 current customers will win $1,000 each. For more details and to get Buck Tussle internet today, call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor. WGBW WISS in Oshkosh, 38 in Green Bay, 43 in Appleton, 50 in 38 in Green Bay.
Seriously, yep.
Yep. 38 in Green Bay, 43 in Appleton, and 50 in Oshkosh. Wow. We have a very special guest now coming up. The last time I saw this guy was when you first came back when I was doing TVJ and did a thing on the movie that came out and the books and all the different things. And Jay DeMeritt, the pride of Bayport High School, welcome to Mino and the Mayor.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. First thing we have to say, though, is the second to last guest we had in here said to say hello that you used to be running around his house. Ryan Lambert.
Oh, okay. Yes, of course. The old neighbors.
Yep.
Neighbors don't go far in Green Bay, that's for sure. So It's nice. It's nice to hear those names. That's for sure.
He said to give you a big hello.
Yeah, big fan of yours, as many of us are. Jay, the last time I saw you was I think it was the last time I saw you. We had an event out at Bayport. Remember that? I think it was Jay Demerite.
I do believe. How could I forget? I still have.
Yeah, the key he doesn't remember Jay Demerite.
He still has the key on his mantle.
That's the one you gave him?
I did.
Okay.
And even though he was in Howard, which we're all one happy community here anyway, but yeah, we claim you as our own here. So yes, we. Hey, Johnny and I were going through your bio, which is terrific, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but. Can I just ask, what are you doing now? Where are you living? I know you're not in studio, although you're invited to come in anytime. Where are you?
I am. It's night again. I don't wake up at 4:45 most mornings, but I do for you guys.
Nice,
thank you, Jay.
I'm out in on the West Coast. I'm in Vancouver still. I finished my career with the Vancouver Whitecaps in the MLS, and so I was married for 5 years. I have an awesome son that I co-parent very happily out of Whistler, the ski town just north of Vancouver. So I split my time between the mountains of Whistler and the beautiful metropolis of Vancouver, British Columbia.
Beautiful wow. area.
Nice out here on the West Coast. I don't know if you guys have been out here.
I've been there.
It's gorgeous. A hard place to leave.
It's very hard. Hey, Jay, you know, I loved your story, you know, back in the day. But now in looking back, it's almost more fascinating because, you know, you were in the era where soccer was first. That level of soccer was first really becoming popular in the United States. And you were kind of right in the middle of that. And I think your story about, I mean, it's kind of like a kid from, I always find it amazing if a kid from the UP becomes a pro golfer or a pro baseball player or something, because there are other people around the world that have so much more advantage just because of where they live. And for you doing to come out of here and start at the ground level and basically go to Europe and beg for a job at the lowest tier to become what you became, that's pretty fascinating. And I'm just asking, what was the drive? Where, at what point didn't you say, I'm going back to Green Bay, I'll get a job, I'll go teach, I'll do whatever. What kept you going and led you to the success you had?
That's a good question. And I think, you know, my mom was probably the one that was trying to tell me to come home at that time. You know, like you spend all those years at university. I went to school in Chicago.
UIC, go Flames.
And I had a great time there basically that's where I started my career. I think, you know, I think a lot of people, and I'll kind of get to the answer of this question, you know, but it started, you know, kind of after my college career. Cause anyone, you know, most traditional programs now, they start a lot younger. You know, I was a three-sport athlete until I was 18. Like, that almost doesn't exist.
Right.
And so
not to be
me,
a pro athlete, think, right.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think for me growing up in Wisconsin, especially in Green Bay, a place that has an American, you know, football team, Lambeau Field in our front yard. And so for that to transfer into soccer, I suppose, is very rare. But, you know, as I kind of came out of school in Chicago, I felt like I was just getting started. You know, when you don't even start training on a day-to-day basis until you're 18 years old, you know, you got a lot of making up to do. But in a way, I think that training from 0 to 18 with different sports, with, you know, my dad was the track coach at Bayport for 40 years. And, you know, I was a track athlete. I was a basketball athlete in the winters. And then I'd play soccer in the summers and in the fall. And, you know, I think all of those, I would call them holistic trainings, really helped me as an athlete, but also helped me as a person and as a human. And I think, you know, nowadays that's kind of taken away. And I think when I got to 18, I was just getting going as to who I was, the type of athlete that I wanted to be. Then I had 3-4 years at university in Chicago to kind of really hone that skill. And then all of a sudden, you know, the draft picks don't come. I don't get picked by the MLS. And I'm sitting there going, wait, guys, I'm just getting started. Like, I feel like I'm just starting to get to know the real type of player that I am. And so that's kind of when I took it upon myself to say, okay, let's weigh out these opportunities here. As, you know, as the story goes, I was playing with an Englishman that was living in Chicago for the summer. He was going back to London to live with his mom after that season of the summer. And he's like, well, Jay, you didn't get really picked here. Why don't you come live in London with me? And I was at a very, very interesting crossroads because I had a design degree that I was 6 months away from receiving, so I could go get a job in the real world, so to speak. But then again, I had this unique soccer experience where just in 3 years in Chicago, D1 school, good environment, all of a sudden I go from, you know, in high school, not getting picked, last on the scholarship sheet, to now becoming an All-American at the Division I level. you know, that in just 3.5 years, while changing positions from forward to defender. So I'm looking at that going, whoa, if I do this for another 3 years, how good can I be? If I take a chance at myself, how good could I be in another 3 years? And I think it was just that internal motivation more than anything, really putting it all out there and going, okay, well, where are you on your story? And I think I felt like I was just getting started. The world was telling me I wasn't good enough, but they didn't see my story. They didn't see that I had only been playing for 3.5 years really at a high level. So that's a lot of times in our own stories where we got to take it upon ourselves to make things happen.
That's awesome.
That is great. Jay, and kids, students, they need to hear that story. We just had someone in studio here that made the leap to Vietnam.
Oh, he works in Vietnam.
Young
yeah,
kid,
yeah.
And he's doing very well. And to go over to London. I'm sure your mom was very concerned. Oh, you know, that's pretty far away. But I mean, really. But those are the things that you have to do in the youth. And you say you believe in yourself. I think a lot of people believed in you, and those who didn't, you sure proved them wrong. But do you give that story? Do you give talks to the youth? Because I think there's so much of this where people just don't take risks, like calculated.
I do. That's kind of in 2011 after the World Cup, I got approached to turn my story into a documentary film, and right. It's called Rise and Shine. You can Google it now. It's on YouTube for free. But at the time in 2011 after the World Cup, the people that were trying to make it went to Kickstarter. And I don't know if you guys know what Kickstarter is. It's where, you know, people donate online for a certain idea. And if you hit your target, then that idea is produced. And so back in 2011, the soccer community raised $223,000 in 70 days to turn my life into a documentary film called Rise and Shine. And, you know, for me, that was kind of my next, you know, true purpose. Was like, wow, seeing over almost 2,000 people that I don't even know donating their hard-earned money to tell my story, right. That must mean something bigger than just of what you have. And I think, you know, I took that very personally. So for the last, you know, 8 years, I've set up youth programs. So I run youth programs in the summers, which is teenage development programs for all holistic teenagers. We run DJ programs, we run leadership programs, and we have a soccer program as well. We're currently making an app with EA that's going to be like masterclass for teens that allow them to really understand themselves at a younger age. And it's all based around mental health. And so Rise and Shine has become something much bigger than me, and as it should be. And because, you know, I'm just a kid from Green Bay that took it upon himself to achieve his dreams. But now I can go out and I can share that story. And we can use tools like the movie and like our programs to actually start to educate and give kids these programs that they can actually practice in. And so they can go out and figure out, you know, their own worlds. You know, I think that one of the biggest thing we do now is we compare our stories to other people's. And I think that's fundamentally backwards. Like, why am I trying to tell some teenager to be me when that's not really possible? It's just fundamentally wrong. And we got to make sure that teenager knows who I am, knows the story, but now he uses that story to be the best version of him or her. And I think that's really where youth development becomes so important now as we move forward. And I'm hoping to be a big part of that continuing.
We're talking with Jay DeMerrick from Green Bay, Bayport, or Howard Green Bay athlete. Is Howard part of Green Bay? How's it work,
it
Jim?
It is. If you write the address, if you write Green Bay, Wisconsin, and they live on Cardinal Lane in Howard, they will get the letter.
It goes through. Okay.
It is. They have their own little municipality, but someone like Jay, claim him as the city of Green Bay. That's why he didn't get a key from the village of Howard. He got a key from the city of Green Bay. So,
but when I got corrected a couple years, I was doing a football game at Bayport High School, and I said, "Hey, it's a beautiful night here tonight in Howard," and a bunch of people were like, "You're in Suamico."
See that? But everybody knows Green Bay. So,
exactly.
All right. Jay, God bless you for doing that. I mean, that's terrific.
What are the keys in the city made from, by the way, Jay?
But Jay, I know the box.
High quality, Jay?
You'll have to ask Mr. Smith for that.
Yeah, is it Jay, on your mantle? I think you said it was on your mantle, Jay.
But pewter, the key is made out of pewter.
Oh.
And the wooden box that it was in is made out of domestic wood that the Oneidas had given us a suggestion to use that.
Wow, very nice.
Yes.
Okay.
It is. So.
Very nice.
And we gave out, Jay, really 16 years I had a run at this thing, and I'm guessing maybe 25 keys I gave out. I gave one to that Olympic, she's from our community, again, maybe not the city of Green Bay. She was a kayaker in the Olympics.
Oh, I remember her, sure. Absolutely. I did a story on her at the YMCA, actually. I know what you mean. Yeah.
She got a key. Couple people that dropped $1 million to a
they got you know, keys. Yeah, you know, I got what I thought was a key from your predecessor. Okay. But it's a bottle opener. Yeah, it was a fake key. It was a bottle opener. Yeah.
More appropriate.
Exactly.
For you, John. Yeah, that was customized.
Jay Demerick joining us, former Bayport athlete, and of course, professional soccer player. His story is truly amazing. You know what I think is cool, Jay? And we'll wrap it up for you here, buddy. I appreciate you taking the time at, 4 o'clock in the morning where you are. But the cool thing is you're paying forward. You, I'm sure, appreciate all the people that helped get you to, you know, what you achieved, and you're taking their spot right now, aren't you?
Yeah, and I think it's important. You know, when you have a story and you're so fortunate, I was so fortunate enough to kind of create the story that I have, and I think it's so important that you have to give that back, and how you do that is subjective. You know, how you give it back is, you know, whether you stand in front of kids, whether you make, you know, again, content like movies or things like that, where you can actually have tools of understanding and information. I think it's so important for people to go out and do that and then now reciprocate that to the next generation. And you know, that's a big thing for me. And I love coming back home. I come back at least once or twice a year, try to do camps with some of the local clubs, some of the local guys I used to play high school soccer with that are now high school coaches, et cetera, et cetera. And I think, but I will say, one of the greatest honors I've ever had is singing Roll Out the Barrel at Lambeau Field after that World Cup. I gotta say, like when you play in these things like the World Cup or Confederations Cups or, these types of the Premier League and things that I was so fortunate to be able to do. I do talk a lot about Watford, my team I played for in England. They're called in England, just outside of London, the original family club. And I think, for me growing up with the original family club in America, which is, the Green Bay Packers, I think there was a lot of, subconscious training in those days where, I grew up with Brett Favre trying to ride my bike and me standing in line waiting for these awesome Packers to be nice to me and sign my autograph and sign autographs for me. And I think growing up in Green Bay as a community, and then as I later turned pro and became captains of those communities in England, again, the biggest jungle of soccer, I really do think that a lot of those things transferred, a lot of those community skills transferred. And I think, I do owe a lot to our community. I owe a lot to Green Bay, not only in our blue collar work ethic, but our, just our genuine ability to care and want to be a good person and want to care about the person next to you. And I think Green Bay really breeds that. And I think the sports team helps. I think that really is a connector between us all. And as I became pro, and being a leader in these communities, and especially here in Vancouver, to finish my career and be captain here, a lot of those things do transfer. How you can stand in line and give autographs, how you can wait for the last person in line to make them feel better about their day or get them excited for next week's game. And I think, that's community at its key. And I think Green Bay really taught me that from the start, and always proud to represent the Bay.
Oh, beautiful. Man. Well, Jay Demerit for mayor.
Outstanding. Fantastic.
That is great, and kids need to hear that. Just thank you for sharing your, you could have just teed it up, but you went out and you're doing more, you're helping the youth in the community, and they need mentors, they need people like you in their life. And yeah, Jay, thanks, you're great. Next, if you're in Green Bay, we'd love to have you in studio. You're one of our favorites.
Let's do it, guys. We'll bring the donuts. We'll see you then.
Hey, by the way, tomorrow night we got a big ball game we're televising, Westy Pier against Bayport.
Woohoo, go Pirates. Here we go.
All right.
Jay Demerit, thank you so very much. It's an honor having you on our show.
You bet, Jay.
Likewise. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy. Wonderful gentleman, isn't he?
One of the very best. Special.
You bet. All right, we're going to set a quick break. Oh, we got some good ones coming in. Who's going to play you two in the movie? Mino and the Mayor, back after this.
Buck Tussle has been providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin before it was cool. Now we're celebrating the company and the bug that started it all. In honor of our mascot, Buford's birthday, and the anniversary of our company, we are giving new customers free service until 2024, and 5 current customers will win $1,000 each. For more details and to get Buck Tussle internet today, call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924.
The 7th Annual Cap Times Idea Fest returned to Madison September 17th, featuring conversations with leaders in government, business, education, social justice, and culture. Idea Fest moderators and guests looked ahead to what the future could look like in Wisconsin and how we reckon with change brought on by the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, and other forces. Civic Media proudly partnered with Idea Fest and will present segments of this year's recorded gathering this weekend across the Civic Media Network. Tune in Saturday at 2 p.m. on your favorite civic media.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves.
Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the...
Here's your updated forecast. High temperatures reach up to 56. Today, under overcast skies, northeast winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, scattered rain showers likely. Lows dip down to about 48. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 52. Overcast skies. Temperatures a bit below average Saturday and Sunday, with highs from the low 50s to the mid 50s. Chance for scattered showers Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 38.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, wrapping up a Thursday. Supposed to be kind of crappy weather coming up this weekend, huh, Todd?
Is it?
I think so. Cold and rain, that's what I saw. So you know what? Enjoy today. Today is beautiful. By the way, we got some good answers coming in for our quiz. Who would play me or Jim in a movie? Okay, one that came in that is really interesting. Jim could be played by Eugene Levy. Eugene Levy, of course, is the star of a very popular show called Bleeps Creek. Let's just say
it's... We'll say Schmitt's Creek.
It's close to that. Yeah. So we could do a movie called Schmitt's Creek. Yes.
That guy, I don't know.
It's a great... He's so funny.
That is such a good show. Oh, my gosh. What's her name? Is so good. They're all good in that show. Yeah. But the daughter, I can't think of her name. Alexa? Alexis?
Alexis?
A little bit of Alexis.
Yeah.
You've never seen it, huh?
I saw that. The guy with the eyebrows.
Yeah. And Joe Pesci could play John. Yeah, I even took that one. Ben Stiller could play the mayor. I could see that. Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller's dad's name?
He just died, right?
Yes.
Oh, God, he was funny.
Stiller. Phenomenal.
He would be great, Jim Schmidt.
He's Frank from King of Queens.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I loved him.
He was in Seinfeld, too, right? I mean, he would play
Jerry Stiller. Yes. He was on Seinfeld, too.
George's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, he was funny. He's fantastic. He was fantastic. You want some of this? You got it.
He was funny.
Then another one, Simon Cowell for Jim.
I'm nicer than him. He's kind of a...
All right. And then I got this thing. She could just see Jim being like Oprah. You get a key. You get a key.
I wasn't that guy.
You get a key.
Selective.
How come I never got a key?
Again.
Your predecessor gave me a key.
Yeah. I was very, very...
selective?
Yes. Okay. That's the word I was looking for.
All right.
Still having enough coffee. Yes. Okay. I was selective.
Very selective.
Nope.
Nope, I don't get
it. But that's up to...
Is it too late for you to retroactively?
Yes.
I don't think Eric's going to give me a key. Eric, why don't I get a key?
The parking.
By the way, today is site day. Is that right, Todd?
That is correct.
Let's see. Okay. Eugene Levy and John Candy in the last polka. They were that Canadian... Do you remember SCTV?
Absolutely.
Wasn't that a great TV show?
Yep.
Gay Caballero, or Guy Caballero, whatever he went by, remember?
Yeah.
He's the guy that played the part of that ran the TV station, and he was in a wheelchair.
No, I know, son.
But he didn't really need a wheelchair. He just did it for whatever. You never saw that?
No.
Because the lady that played the mom in Home Alone, Catherine O'Hara. She's also in
Schmitt's Creek, right? Yeah. Martin Short, Andrea Martin.
Yes.
Eugene Levy, John Candy, all part of that group.
I like gangster movies and stuff like that. But you know what other movies I like? That it's all that same group. What was it? For Show? Best in Show. And remember they had a whole bunch of them where it's all those same people that were in those movies? I like those movies.
More the comedy than the...
All right. Hey, you got a quick quiz for us?
All right. I got something for you this morning.
I know.
Oh, and by the way, today is gumbo day. We're going to be serving gumbo at the bar restaurant that me, Tony O, and Ace are going to put together.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, they don't know that we're doing this yet.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I'd like to...
Yeah, but I'm just laying it out there.
I thought they had a little inkling, didn't they?
A little. Very little.
Gumbo day.
Yeah, I love gumbo.
Me too.
I can eat gumbo every day of my life.
Bye-bye.
All right, here we go.
So today in history, ready?
Yep.
Today's the, 12th of October. It was on this date, 1792.
Oof.
The first monument to this explorer was dedicated in Baltimore, Maryland. Now, think of the month we're in, 1792. The first monument to this...
Columbus!
Correct. Very good. Number two, on this date, 1938, production began on a movie that featured Margaret Hamilton and Judy Garland.
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz is absolutely correct.
Bing.
Yeah, bing. Oh, 1961, on this date, the first video memoirs of a U.S. president were made, and...
Eisenhower.
Eisenhower is correct.
Bing!
But, who was the anchor that did the interview? From CBS.
Walter Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite. That's the way it is.
And that's the way it is. Okay. Today, October 12th. The former mayor gets none right.
No, I I'm back. What are you guys? What are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm back. I was getting coffee. Yeah. So what happened?
1999. This gentleman who played Meathead on All in the Family got a star.
Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner is correct. Bing! And the final one today. In 2001, a special episode of America's Most Wanted was aired that focused on 22 wanted terrorists. Now think of the year, 2001.
Obama. Bin Laden.
Nope. Who specifically requested this special episode?
George Bush.
George Bush is absolutely correct.
Bing!
Yep. Nice job today. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you very much, Todd.
I can give you one bell.
I think that's known as running the table.
I think this is what happens when I showed up late today. I think the answers were given to me. We spent so much time
making our spaghetti.
I did. That's what I was this morning. I was getting your little trays ready.
You're supposed to try that on the air today.
That's all right. You guys let me know tomorrow. Okay. That's okay.
That's my lunch.
Anyway, yes.
Thank you for doing that. That's very nice of you.
I'm not coming in late tomorrow, so I don't get...
Boy, humble Ryan, though, talking about what he cooks with the tenderloin and the French bread.
Right?
And
that guy, he must...
Yeah. He's cooler than us.
He is.
He's cooler than us.
He is. Most people...
Add it to the list.
Most people in
that
here
are cooler
are,
than us.
They're in better shape than us, John.
Yeah, I know.
But wait, in a year they're going to come back and they're going to say, you guys look unbelievable.
Really?
And then we're going to get those cameras because Todd, our producer, wants us to be on video. And Johnny and I have been kind of slow playing that.
Yeah. Because I will say this. When we had the gentleman on the other day who was on Zoom with us.
Yes.
That I like that, where you can actually see the person.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easier doing the conversation. Like, I would love to have seen Jay sitting here doing... Don't you agree with that?
Oh, I totally. I am all for in-person. That COVID, I hated that. I mean, I just really need to be with people to get stuff done. And I've always been a as they call it in the old days, belly-to-belly salesperson. So that's a little weird. Yes, but
really weird. Are you a little Bengay on my back?
Yeah, that. No.
I didn't even know they still made Bengay, so thank you for your wife, Donna.
All right, I'll tell
for
her.
For bringing up that. I appreciate it. That seemed to help.
Well, you're still in a little bit of pain, but we got to get you some better drugs.
I need a new drug. One that won't make me sick.
You didn't say it like that.
Well, that's a
prescription that...
Huey Lewis.
Yes.
Huey Lewis.
Right.
Well, he's deaf now. He cannot perform anymore because he can't hear.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Sad news.
So that's almost like the movie A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
That's what happens to him.
Yep, exactly.
What? You don't know that one?
No.
You don't know that one?
Huey Lewis, I know.
You don't know
I didn't
Star
know
Sport?
He went deaf.
You didn't see it a couple of years ago. It was really good. With Lady Gaga?
No.
No?
Back in the day, Barbara Streisand.
Yes. And Chris Christopherson.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was shot in Tempe, Arizona, where I was going to school at the time. What do you think about that?
That made my day, John.
Who sounds better? Huey Lewis? Or me.
Oh, my God. Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. He is great.
Nothing. The best radio I've ever heard in my life was yesterday, him singing to Sir With Love.
Oh, that was like, talk about the power of drugs. That was unbelievable, John. I heard about that yesterday. What was
all day?
Not just the singing, which was so off key, but the fact that you fell in love with to Sir With Love is, you're Mr. Gangster and Al Pacino and all these shoot 'em up movies, and then you're like, you know what, you guys? That the power of drugs
I'm gonna
is
say this
unbelievable.
One time. I'm going to say this one time. Don't you ever disrespect Lulu. Not on my watch, buddy. Time is up. We got to go.
All right.
This might carry over. This might spill over.
To Sir With Love.
Thank you, Todd. See ya.
All right, Team Pella, listen up.
Customers love our products with limited lifetime warranties. Let's see the winning plays. Here we've got incredible innovations like blinds and shades between the glass.
No interference on that play, coach.
and stylish windows with hidden screens that make game days a breeze.
Can it get any better?
It can! With monthly payments as low as $19 per window, $75 per patio door, and a free quote at PellaWI.com.
Let's go!
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.